Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of our last 2024 edition of Animal World. We're here until noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up stream, just go directly to the 1150kknw.com website, click on listen upper left, and then listen online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And hey, so we got another hour here left with our the most knowledgeable animal people on the planet. I don't know how they do what they do. I don't think they sleep. I think this is all they do. And anyway, I for one am very, very grateful. Merritt and Beth Clifton are here. They're the folks behind animals24-7.org. Important that you go there, join the mailing list. And that way you will have the latest on the H5N1 bird flu and all that sort of thing. That way we can be on top of what's really going on and knowing what we need to do to help ourselves and our animal friends. And, you know, Merritt and Beth, before we move on to all the rest of the stories, it just occurred to me that one thing I think, and I read this in, I think, in that the article that we're not paying attention the way we should with this virus, that we do need to be careful if we just find dead birds.
Yes.
Isn't that true? And what they were saying is that, you know, you can't just say, oh, it's a dead bird and pick it up. And because we now know you can, you know, the animals are getting it from eating dead animals. You can probably get it from touching them or doing that. So what do we do? Just, you know, use gloves or something to handle and throw away? Do we need to report dead birds, or is there anything we need to know about that?
If you find a cluster of dead birds somewhere, even if it wasn't H5N1, I would recommend extreme caution, because you might be looking at avian botulism, for instance.
Oh, geez. Okay. So there's other stuff, too. Okay.
Develop in a stagnant pond, it'll kill every duck or goose on the pond, and it'll kill you, too, if you're not careful with it. So, yes, you put on gloves and take intelligent precautions, and don't let your dog eat it, play with it, roll in it.
Yeah, makes sense. Or your cats.
Because the dog might be fine, but you're more vulnerable than the dog is, because the dog, again, is a scavenger.
Right. And I'm always telling, you know, people about, you know, because people are really concerned about what their dog's eating. It's like, you know, come on. They eat poop. You know, they eat cat poop and horse poop and cow poop and, you know, and berry bones and eat them ever, you know, and they're all, you know, so, you know, they got kind of wrought iron digestive systems. But, you know, there's also a lot of genetics where we have breeds that their digestive systems have not developed well that great. But in generally speaking, they are scavengers and they eat a lot of stuff. And so they're more prepared to deal. Their bodies are more prepared, so to speak.
We have to rescue chickens. And I started wearing gloves, so I would suggest that people that keep chickens.
Oh, that's a good idea, because you do have the two chickens. So what, you're wearing gloves now when you're working with them?
I bought disposable gloves just to be safe. I can't pick them up anyway. They don't like that. But
okay.
When I go out to take care of the two rescue chickens, I put my gloves on, I clean up after them, and then I dispose of the gloves. So,
okay. All right. Okay, folks. So would we just, should we say for everybody that has chickens, you know, and if it's just, you know, a couple in a pen, you know, I think that Beth has the two rescue chickens. It's important that you be a little more cautious and careful to protect yourself. And so you're feeling just, you know, a box of disposable gloves. They're easy to come by these days. And, you know, you can easily order them on Amazon. And
I got the restaurant gloves. Those are the cheapest and easily disposed of. And a lot of them in the box. So.
Yeah. So if you're taking care of chickens, wear gloves and be a little more clean about what you're doing and make sure that you aren't contaminating yourself. Because I think you've said it's possible that birds could have the virus, but they're not overtly sick that we see it. So you can't, just because they're acting normal and look healthy does not necessarily mean they're safe.
Well, we also tracked many, many birds besides, because we have the two chickens in the feed. So I have hundreds of birds going out there every day. So it's not really just about the chickens, but it's about all of the birds that come into the yard.
Gotcha.
And so just to be safe, you know, it's just to be safe.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. All right. So, and we have a fabulous list of stories here. And I think we have 19 non-dog attack stories that you guys have put together. But instead of ending, because we seem we never get have a lot of time left, why don't we start with what you said may be the biggest good news story. You're saying that San Diego cat control trial was probably the most important legal development for cats in at least 10 years, and the verdict last week may have been the biggest good news story. So
Yes.
I can hear a lot of listeners saying, what decision? I said, what's this about? So, Merritt and Beth, enlighten us. What's this good news?
Well, we called it the cat control trial of the century because what it was about, you're
Where?
familiar with the practice of trap, neuter, return, TNR.
Yeah, TNR, tap, neuter, release, or tap, neuter, trap, neuter, return, very commonly used around the
Sort of
country.
a spin-off of this, and actually an abuse of the concept behind TNR is called return to field, whereby the animal control agency simply dumps the cat back wherever the cat was found for the cat to find its own way back home. And when you're talking about a tame, escaped indoor cat that can easily be handled, this is basically making the cat coyote bait. The cat, it's not like a feral cat. It doesn't know how to feed itself outdoors. It's reliant on human feeders. So, a group of people in Southern California, including the animal rights attorney Brian Pease and Sharon Logan and Wendy Aragon, Betsy Denhart, got together and sued San Diego Humane Society, which has the animal control contract, for dumping tame, friendly cats who often did not survive or were injured, and these people were rescuing the cats.
Now, why would they do that?
Well, they're dumping them to maintain a high live release rate, to not have to take care of the cat, to save money, and to
And
avoid
to say they didn't kill anybody.
exactly. Well, it took them 6 months in court, but they won the case just before
Wow.
Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Judge
Huh.
looked at that and said, "This is not TNR.
Yeah.
Basically, this is just plain laziness."
Yeah, and getting rid of cats so they don't end up on your statistic. Yeah, huh. Wow, so they won. Wow, that is good news. So
They
what
won.
happens now?
Well, what happens now? In order for it to become a legally binding precedent, it will have to be tested in an appellate court. So that hasn't yet happened, but in practical terms, it has agencies doing this return to field all over the country, having to take a look at themselves and realize they are vulnerable to lawsuit also.
Yeah.
And they have to do their damn jobs. That they have to take in the cat, try to identify who the owner is, get it back to the owner or caretaker. Microchipping cats, by the way, is a very good idea for that reason, in case the cat does get out. And there is, by the way, another case in Orange County where the same group of people, it didn't go to court. They won basically a concession from Orange County Animal Control that they weren't going to do this anymore. So this is two big counties in Southern California. And the animal control people are, just as they had to look at euthanizing every animal that comes in is not the way to do the job. They're having to look at just taking the cat out and dumping it is not the way to do the job.
Yeah.
You're going to have
Wow.
to get some more money to take care of the cats, Maybe not keeping so many dangerous dogs so long in their kennels is another way to save money. So
What
it's going to have a lot of ripple effects.
we're actually seeing defiance, though, aren't we?
We are seeing defiance because San Diego Humane Society actually said they're not going to obey the court order.
Oh, great, great. We're just going to dump cats anyway.
We're just going to jump cats anyway, I guess, until the president of the Humane Society goes to jail for contempt of court.
Oh, that would no, that would be a story.
Yeah, we're watching it really closely.
I guess the more time goes on, the more I am amazed and sometimes shocked about what's going on in our world of animals. I came across some information recently that I haven't had a chance to mention to you guys, but was a real shocker to me. And so I'm just going to mention it now, just because it popped into my mind. I'm thinking about it, and we don't necessarily have to talk about it, but I want to know if you know about this. And I was talking to my friends that do a lot more professional work with animals and training and all that, and are know a lot more about the world of the rescue and adoptions and dogs and all of that. And we were having the discussion. I was saying that, most of the rescue dogs I see these days come out of Texas and Mexico. And then they get trucked up, and they're never often not what they're promised to be, and there's all kinds of issues with all of that. And I was saying that some of the stories I hear, especially when they're puppies coming up, the stories don't really make sense to me, and I'm not sure what's going on. Well, then these folks said, "Well, there's a whole new industry now going on," and what they told me was that there is now a business going on down in Mexico that they're breeding dogs to put into the rescue chain through Texas. So they breed these dogs. They the rescues them, will then buy them for 20 or $30, so they make money. And then, of course, the rescues, you pay lots of money to adopt a rescue dog these days. And it's now become a business that they're breeding dogs to put into the rescue system. And so we're feeding this chain if we rescue these dogs out of Texas. So, have you heard? Is that a legitimate story I'm being told?
Actually, we talked about that when we were jumping up and down and screaming about the low rabies vaccination rate in the US. 52% rabies vaccination. And all it takes is one rabid puppy coming up from Mexico or the Texas border country. It gets loose at a dog park and
Wow.
infects the dogs there with silent rabies. A dog can take a couple months to show any active symptoms. You just figure out how rapidly, how far this could spread.
Yeah.
Got a rabies vaccination rate right now that's below India, for Christ's sake. We got to get with it.
Yeah, so I think we have to pay better attention here to what's going on in our world of rescue and all that sort of thing, because we need to adjust as things change. And right now, I'm telling anybody that contacts me that let's rescue locally. Stick with our local rescues and the animals around here, and stop the chain, stopped rescuing out of Texas and Mexico. So that's kind of what I'm doing at this point. Anyone is advising everyone to adopt local, and let's not feed these chains. All righty. Let's remember, Martha, what we're here to do, and let's go back to our wonderful list here of all these stories. So we start at the top of the list and go down. What do we got? Vice President Kamala Harris, long, strong record on animal issues, is the first thing on there. And I don't know if we want to cover, how much there is to cover there. But we did know, I mean, she would have been a great choice, and we would have had some really maybe some good animal stuff happening. Kind of think the country went the other way. And
Thing to mention there, though. The Horse Protection Act was amended, or actually the enforcement rules were amended fairly late in the Biden administration to eliminate the practice of soaring show horses' legs to make them step higher with the big lick step
Tennessee walking horses.
with
Oh,
Tennessee.
yeah.
This is a very important thing in roughly the southeastern quadrant of the country, not so much here. But now the question is, will the Trump administration enforce the rule change? And history suggests that it probably will not. So the
Bummer.
biggest political victory of the year for animals may be lost through non-enforcement.
Oh, too.
We're not happy
Wow.
about that.
Oh, here's a good story. I remember this one because wasn't this out here? Zebras on the run.
Yeah, the zebras, that was a woman named Christian Kelchin, who runs a roadside zoo in Montana, bought a zebra in the Tacoma area, lost the zebra out of her truck in the Cascade Mountains. The zebra was running loose for about a week. And we had more people wanting to read about that zebra than any other two stories all year combined. It was ridiculous.
If you remember the Bernie Sanders memes that were going around with him sleeping with his gloves on, this
Right.
happened with the zebra. The zebra was everywhere. The zebra was on Whidbey Island. The zebra, it was.
Yep, you're right. That's why I said I remember this story because it was all over the place. They jumped all over that story. Now this one, the next one. Now there's numbers next to these. Is that the numbers of how many times this story appeared or something?
The number of hits on the story,
Readership.
it's
Okay, so
extremely.
I guess Kamala Harris's record and that the new regulations for horses that may probably won't be honored, that was over 13,000. The zebras 11,000 plus. Now this one is almost 6,000, and I don't think I'm aware of this one. It's a snowmobile wolf lynching. Puts
Oh,
Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana on trial. What was that all about?
This guy, first off, in Wyoming, it's legal to kill a wolf by any means during season, which is three quarters of the year. So this guy ran over a female wolf with his snowmobile. Then the wolf is still alive, so he tapes the mouth shut, drags it into
Bar.
the local bar, which happens to be owned by his mother, and shows it off to people there for several hours before finally taking it outside and shooting it. Well, then he posts the video to Facebook,
Oh, dear.
people notice it, and
His name was Mud.
it becomes a
Yeah, I
major
bet he was in big trouble then.
with all the major animal advocacy groups jumping on it, pushing for stronger legislation, which so far they do not have. So what this guy did is still basically perfectly legal, except for one. He did one thing. I don't remember what it was. It was relatively minor. He got fined $200 for that. Everything else he got away with.
Well,
And he'd go out and do it again tomorrow.
I don't think he will, though. Not that stupid.
Oh, I
Well,
would
he
bet.
is that stupid.
All right. Well, we are. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm surprised Nathan's not squirming yet, but he would be soon. So, oh, and by the way, it's just raining harder. I keep looking out my window, and it's like, really? Yeah, it's just raining. Anyway. Let's take care of our advertisers so that we are in good stead there. And then we will come back and get back to our list of the most popular, animal stories and so forth of the year. And, there's more that I'm not aware of, and maybe not you either. So, anyway, yeah, it's a good list. Stay right where you are. Merritt and Beth are here from animals24-7.org. And we continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's ANANDA Washington.org.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com now.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Find our app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us with you wherever you go. Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
I love them. They even do Alvin, the chipmunk. That's so cute. Alrighty then, we heard from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, my spiritual family. They have the Blue Lotus Temple and Yoga Hall in Bothell, Linwood community, and of course the East-West Bookshop in Edmonds, becoming a real popular place. And you can check out all the events and stuff coming up on their website, anandawashington.org. And of course, they will join us to close out the show next week and catch us up on their biggest class of the year, starting in January, so you'll hear all about that next week. We heard from Dr. Nels Rasmussen again. Check him out at healingministryforanimals.com. He will be here with Sister Linda next week for our healing show, so mark your calendars. Call in for free remote treatments.
2 weeks from now.
Excuse me, 2 weeks from now. Yep, this is not... See, there you go. I'm going to blame it on my gluten fog. Too many Christmas cookies. I have a gluten hangover. See, I went on automatic pilot, Nathan, because usually the first show after our encore show is Shelter Rescue.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
And so Nels and Linda would be the next week. Well, I'm just letting y'all know. See, I warned you ahead of time. I got a gluten hangover. There's evidence of it. Okay. And just when I thought I was getting clear. So anyway, 2 weeks from now, I'll be in the studio. So healingministryforanimals.com. And of course, if you do something wonderful for humans or animals, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. Would love to have you. And if you're interested, shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty then, let's get back to Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from animals24-7.org. And man, there isn't anybody at compiling stories and statistics better than them. And we got the hottest, most popular stories, animal stories of the year. Let's see where we're starting up with. I'm not sure what this one is, but 4,667 hits on this one. So closer to 5,000. Let's see. New Jersey dogfighting suspects. So Lobrio low and lower. I'm not sure what that story was all about, but we did have a big one about New Jersey dogfighting.
Yes, it was a three-generation family engaged in dogfighting, finally got busted. It's your typical dogfighting story, very sordid. And
three-generation that they busted.
Three generations finally being brought to justice.
All right. And then let's see. Caught dead at a dogfight. Who shot Peanut and Goon? That got over 4,000 hits. So what's that story?
That's still up in the air. These two young guys were shot dead, left in the back of a truck, and then dumped. Apparently at a cockfight. They were involved in cockfighting. The investigation is still underway. Nobody's gone to trial yet, but we're watching that to see what happens next.
So these were Peanut and Goon were dogs found dead?
Well, dogs have been found dead, too. They were involved in that. They were involved in dog fighting. I think I said cockfighting. I meant dog fighting.
Peanut. Gotcha.
Yeah, they're people. That's their nicknames.
Now, here's another 4,000 hits. This one's interesting. Dogfighter runs for office in North Carolina, backed by cockfighting money.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Well, not only that, you got the Ku Klux Klan involved in that one, too.
This is
a local politician whose website had KKK references all over it.
Oh, my.
He ran for political office. He was defeated, fortunately.
Oh, thank goodness.
But known cockfighters who've been fighting to legalize or re-legalize cockfighting were putting money into his campaign. And there was involvement in both dogfighting and cockfighting in the history there. So it was just nasty, but fortunately he lost. Unfortunately, he previously was on the local school board.
Oh, my goodness. And unfortunately, you know, the powers that be and the new administration coming in is not supportive of, the animals and, an environment and all of the stuff that we really care about.
There is a sort of an encouraging thing there. Pam Bondi, who's his choice to be attorney.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned her. What did you say about her again?
Well, she's had a very good record as a prosecutor.
And she is probably going to be the attorney general?
Right.
Right?
The catch-22 on that is before she can prosecute a case, usually USDA has to bring the charges under the Animal Welfare Act.
I gotcha.
The question is really what's going to happen at the USDA level. But once it gets to Pam Bondi, we're pretty sure she'll follow up.
Okay, so even if you don't like her, sounds like she's got a really good history of animal support. So that might be the silver lining in that appointment, is that she could be good for animals. Well, we can hold on to that anyway. Oh, all righty. So this is just one hit shy of 4,000. And this was Hurricane Helene. Raises hell in high water, but animal shelters survive. So, wow, it's amazing how, you know, you think that it seems like it's been so long since that happened, but that was this year.
But it was pretty odd how it really raised hell from Florida up into the Appalachians and didn't hit a single major animal shelter. It did hit a couple of small mom-and-pop sanctuaries. But that's all. It was incredible how much damage it did, just missing one place after another.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Someone was protecting our animal friends. So, now, do you follow up after hurricanes like this and the follow up and what happens afterwards and, you know, how they're doing with recovery usually there's a lot of lost and, you know, abandoned animals after something like this. Do you know how they're doing in that area?
In that area, there's a lot of lost and abandoned animals at all times.
All the time.
So
okay.
We haven't really noticed a change in any reports that are coming from there. It's not like when, for example, Katrina is the one everybody thinks of. That hit a city that it was suddenly very visible that there were a lot of stray animals running around because people fled and left them behind. But that was also kind of unusual because these days people mostly take their animals with them.
Yeah. All right.
Like the Appalachians where the dogs are running around loose all the time, you don't notice a change.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Boy, now this sounds like an interesting story, and we're just shy of 4,000 here on this one. Shark circles cocky chicken fighters in Adair County, Oklahoma. What's that story?
SHARC is an organization called Showing Animals Respect and Kindness, founded by a man named Steve Hindy in Chicago in 1992. Hindy is like the world's greatest drone pilot. He's got a team of people behind him. And they've discovered that drones are particularly effective in documenting cockfighting, rodeo animal abuse. Charreada animals.
I mean, because they could fly over and photograph and film stuff. Oh, yeah, okay. Makes sense.
He's got drones with cameras so powerful that he can document this stuff from as far as 3 miles away.
Wow, really?
Legally.
And he does it legally.
Legally, from 3 miles away. Wow, that's amazing.
Why is that information to law enforcement? Now, 3 years ago, a couple of cockfighters caught him and beat him within an inch of his life and wrecked one of his drones. He's had a number of drones shot down, but he just keeps going right back out there and getting the evidence. The guys that beat him up, one of them went to prison for a couple of, he was sentenced to 5 years. He got out after a year and a half. Steve is just a really amazing guy. And
well, he sounds like one of those guys that kind of restores your faith in humanity because, you know, he just keeps at it and getting that information out. Well, good for him.
Well, there's one other thing I want to mention about Steve. Yeah. He was a trophy hunter and trophy fisherman until he stopped by a pigeon shoot on his way to go shark fishing back in 1990. And he was so appalled at what he saw that within a couple of months, he was a vegan animal rights activist.
Wow. Wow. So he had one experience that was life-altering for him.
Right. It was his road to Damascus. You know.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. Well, all right. Looks like our zebra made the news again. Zebra back behind bars, and owner Christine bails on barista business. So the zebras came back in the news, and this time 3,500 were paying attention. And I think that was just wasn't that the conclusion of kind of the last. Or the loose zebras all over the place.
The lady who set up the roadside zoo used to be a barista, but she discovered that she could, at least she thought she could make more money running a roadside zoo in Montana.
Oh, that's right. And I think there was one, they got all the zebras, but one, there was one that they didn't get for a while.
That was the one that was running amok, and they finally did catch that zebra.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So... All right, the next on our list with over 3,000, it's Democratic Vice President nominee Tim Walz, hunts but loves cats and is hated by gun lobby. So that obviously would have been a story about the vice presidential candidate because he was, you know, kind of one of those down-home guys that, you know, and he has guns and hunts and all of that, but at the same time, you know, is a great animal supporter and, you know, was very reasonable about that.
He's got some animal shelters for years and years. And yeah, like you say, kind of an average guy who, at least in his attitudes toward animals, who maybe didn't make the connection between adopting from shelters and hunting. But he's on his way in the right direction, I guess.
Yep. All right, now here we go. 2,500 or a little above that level. Our next story, it sounds interesting. Monkey business invades Brazoria, Texas, and Bainbridge, Georgia. So what kind of monkey business was going on down there that was so...
breeding monkeys for laboratory use, specifically breeding macaques for lab use, not just by the hundreds, but by the thousands.
Ooh.
Because it's harder and harder to import monkeys for laboratory use, the business of breeding them here has taken off. There was also a related story. One of the places that was already doing this, Alpha Genesis in South Carolina, had a very well-publicized escape of about 40 monkeys. And I believe they still have a couple of them at large. They recaptured most of them, but there are still a few at large living off the land and sometimes getting fed outside their gates. This is basically an issue to watch. First off, there's the issue of a lot of the experiments are awfully cruel to the monkeys, and then it's an unnatural life for the monkeys. And then when these monkeys get loose, there's more than 90 diseases that are endemic to macaques that are transmissible to humans. So again, there's a zoonotic disease angle we got to watch for.
Wow, amazing. All right, and then Kamala Harris comes back into the headlines. Most pro-animal record of any presidential candidate ever. Yeah. Kind of speaks for itself, and boy, I would have liked to see her be able to become the most pro-animal president we've ever had, but that was not in the cards this time around. But it was a popular story at the time. Well, let's see. Here are... I'm looking at the clock. It's time for us to make Nathan happy and take care of our advertisers for the last time in this hour. So we've still got more stories to go. So stay right where you are. We'll take care of our advertisers and we'll come back and finish our list. Animal World continues. More with Merritt and Beth from animals24-7.org coming up right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
I'm Sue Rose Minahan, inviting you to tune in and join me on Talk Cosmos Sunday, December 29 at 1 p.m. for Astro Jam. Listen how astrologers unravel 2025 charts. You hear planets speaking dynamic cosmic consciousness we experience in hearts, mind, and soul. Discover revealing insights into 2025. Come journey with us on Talk Cosmos Sunday, December 29, 1 p.m. Pacific on KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Wondering what's on next on Alternative Talk 1150? Check out 1150kknw.com.
Oh yeah, those Christmas trees are probably about done here. I know my family's tradition was growing up that mom's rule was Christmas tree and everything had to be down by New Year's. But then I know a lot of people stretch it and keep them longer and that sort of thing, especially if they're fake trees. They last better. Anyway, oh, Christmas tree. Thank you, Jingle Cats. Alrighty, so we heard from again from our NuPro supplements, and just remember it's N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, NuProSupplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. And you can check them out all on their website. And if you can't find the products at your pet store, they're all available on Amazon. And Janice has been a real popular guest on the show for years because she's so knowledgeable about nutrition and so forth for our animal friends. And she's always a popular guest. And I'm looking for a date to get her back on the show again. And so hopefully we'll be able to hear from Janice again sometime soon in the new year. All righty. And of course, if you know anybody that needs help with their dog friends, that's where I come in as an animal behavior therapist and trainer. And I solve problems real fast. Usually only need to see you once even to get the really serious stuff under control. But I always do a free telephone evaluation, so please write down my phone number and give it to anybody you know that's got a problem with their dog. Tell them to call me. I'll talk to them for free on the phone. The number to give them is 360-217-7258. 360-217-7258. All righty, then. We are all caught up. Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from animals24-7.org, and we are reviewing the top animal stories of the year, just to remind us what went on. Alrighty, so here's another one that I'm not sure what this is all about. So let's see. Jack Lynx beef jerky CEO, pigeon massacre jeopardizes bald eagles too. So it sounds like we got a beef jerky company and the CEO massacred pigeons, and somehow that affected eagles. What's that all about?
Well, they use lead shot to shoot the pigeons, and they happen to land in a wildlife reserve area where there are eagles. Steve Hindy, who we mentioned just a little bit ago, got drone video showing the eagles descending from the sky to eat the pigeons who had been shot with the lead shot at a pigeon shoot in western Florida. The pigeon shoot was hosted by the CEO of Jack Lynx. Now, there's a spinoff from that. Steve followed them to the next place they held a pigeon shoot and collected evidence. And the guy involved in that case, who is not the Jack Lynx guy, he's a retired medical doctor in this case, ended up being convicted of violating the Lacey Act, which involves transporting birds across state, or any animals actually, across state lines that have been illegally taken. So from two surveillances of pigeon shoots, Hindy got one major conviction.
Wow, that's amazing. I know that could be an issue. Martha Jordan, a great, you know, a biologist that's local here and an expert in trumpeter swans and that sort of thing. I know that we've, over the years, have talked to her from time to time about it. It is that lead shot is a real problem for the swans, you know, because they what they eat, they ingest the, you know, all the lead shot that's left around in the environment, and it's really serious for them. So that's an issue.
A hundred years or more worth of accumulated lead shot in a lot of places settles to the bottom in the silt layer, and when waterfowl their filter feeders, basically bottom filter,
it kills them if they get filled up with lead.
It kills the eagles and the California condors and other scavenging birds of prey that eat these carcasses.
Well,
they also get lead shot out of deer sometimes.
That's true. All right, so here our next story. And then this is Vladimir, the Russian beluga spy whale, dies in Norwegian fjord. So I remember that story was big, and that wonderful beluga whale. But he was a spy whale.
Well, he was probably actually used at a rehab or a therapy center for children, not actually a spy whale. But he was released somehow, made his way around Scandinavia all the way down to southern end of Sweden, Norway, even off the coast of Denmark, and finally settled down in a little bay in Norway, where he was sort of, you might say, a local pet to the extent that a beluga can be.
Right.
But somehow he ingested a stick that got stuck in his throat.
Oh, dear.
He wasn't able to eat properly, and that eventually killed him. But meanwhile, there was this filmmaker who was had this fundraising campaign to relocate the whale back to the far north and make a film about it. And we do kind of wonder why she's out there swimming with the whale quite frequently and even posing looking down his throat, why she never noticed the stick.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, people like Rick O'Berry, who spent his life trying to free whales and dolphins, was saying,
right,
this is a habituated beluga who really should not be relocated back to the far north, which is not the part of the far north that he came from in the first place anyway.
She became very possessive of Vladimir.
Gotcha. Amazing. All righty. Well, now this is interesting. This must have been before the election. Seeking Pennsylvania votes, Trump has turned to Amish raw milk scofflaw. So what was that about?
Well, there's a raw milk producer in Pennsylvania who for years has been defying the law on testing and having his cows inspected and all the rest of that. He also apparently has some political influence locally. So the Trump campaign was courting his endorsement and apparently got it. This is through Robert Kennedy. Robert Kennedy nominated head Health and Human Services. And
okay, and I think he's a fan of raw milk and all that kind of stuff, which is now, of course, all coming to the surface, and the truth on is coming out about, you know, the bird flu, and that's one way you can get it right now. So, okay, so you got to pay attention, folks. But that was a big story. So there's probably going to be more support from the administration for the raw milk and stuff. And it's not that it can't be a good thing for some people, like my friend, who can't drink milk other than that. But she also can't drink it now because, you know, she'd be even more susceptible to, like, bird flu. So anyway. All righty. Okay, what is this? Cat control trial of the century cleared to proceed in San Diego.
We did already talk about
that. That's what we already covered that. So, okay, so that was lower down there. All righty. So, eagle poaching indictments detail case allegedly dwarfing all others. So, that's right. I remember there was an eagle poaching story.
Local angle, too, because one of these guys, there were two of them. One still at large. One was convicted and sent to jail. But the two of them, between them, poached a couple thousand eagles.
Yeah.
And sold the feathers.
Over years.
Over years'
wow.
time. And they did finally get caught. But one of them is still at large. Neither,
wow.
by the way, is Native American, but both of them posed as Native Americans.
Oh, they weren't, but they pretended to be.
Yeah,
that's because it's legal for Native Americans to have eagle feathers.
Right, with a permit.
With a permit, yeah. But not for us regular folks. All right, let's see. And then, oh, yes, our beloved Lolita, not the orca whale activist thought she was. Her truth was worse. So that must have been around. Was her death this year? I can't.
She died this year.
Wow, it seems like it's been so much longer than that.
Posthumously, it came out that genetic testing had shown all along that she was actually a transient whale that just happened to get swept up along with the resident whales in the captures back in the early 70s. She was driven with the others into Penn Cove, and although she was not related to any of them, was also captured, was sold to the Miami Seaquarium, where she spent the rest of her life. For a short period of time, she had a companion, Hugo, who I believe was from Iceland, but Hugo died, so she was alone for the last 40-some years.
Well, Hugo killed himself, didn't he? He's the one that rammed his head into the wall.
Right.
Yeah. Couldn't stand it. Bless her heart. I know, I remember, I'm so old, I was around when that happened, and I remember it was filmed. I remember as a kid sitting in the TV and being so upset, watching, you know, the capture of these whales.
The best. Visiting the Miami Seaquarium quite often because she lived right there in Miami Beach. So these whales were her friends.
Wow. Amazing. And I think our last closeout, is this related to our good news story, the San Diego cat control trial verdict? an LA shelter, fine, exposed, no kill failures. So that's our good news that, well, you know, we made it through our list and wrapped up here with, you know, so maybe there'll be some cleanup in the trap neuter release programs that are not legitimate, like these shelters that are just dumping cats so they don't go into their statistic pile, and just making them coyote food, as you said, and all that sort of thing. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, because apparently, like you said, that the CND, the animal control down there has said, we're not going to follow this. but we're anticipating maybe there won't be any reinforcement by the current administration and so forth. So who knows what's going to happen. But it was has been looking good for cleaning that up in the industry. But who knows? We'll have to see.
With the non-enforcement is the Horse Protection Act amendments. The cats aren't under the federal jurisdiction.
Gotcha. Well, so golly, we got all our stories in and covered all the big happening. Anything you and aside from, we know kind of the biggest story, the H5N1 bird flu is going on as we speak, is going to continue. So we'll be constantly updating that. Any other big animal stories that you're following or interest in going into 2025?
Well, it looks like the anti-rabies campaign in Vietnam is actually being quite successful, a 20% reduction in rabies cases over the last year. This, again, is a case where we're talking about a developing world country that's actually now got a higher vaccination rate than the United States, and the United States better get half the jive on that.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that picture, folks? So we really need to be paying attention because we're looking at, you know, all this virus stuff. It's my major concern that we do have our heads in the sand and we are not on top of this the way we should be. But at least we pay attention to what Merritt and Beth are putting out. Go to animals24-7.org, sign up for the newsletter, be here, of course, the first Sunday of every month. They're here regularly. That, of course, will be next Sunday. Is that right, Nathan? Yeah. Yep. Okay. So you guys will be back next Sunday. You know, we'll cover whatever's going on, but obviously an update on H5N1 and all that good stuff. But thank you so much for being part of Animal World this year. I just love having you. And I'm looking forward for us to getting back. And this coming year, we're going to be doing a whole show on all the, you know, dog attack statistics and the breeds and all of that, and we're going to hash all that out from both perspectives, because I can represent both sides, and so we'll really hash this all out and what do we really need to know and all of that. So anyway, thank you so much for all the great work that you do, and it looks like it won't be too long till we talk again, because we'll see you again next week.
Thank you, Merritt, and I wish everybody a happy, healthy new year.
Absolutely.
For
absolutely
both two-legged and four-legged.
Wonderful. So next week is Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends. So Merritt and Beth will be back. We'll talk with Meow Cat Rescue, Help Animals India, and the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. So hope you will join us and be here. Please have a very happy new year and make it safe for you and your animal friends. Remember, oil in your dog's ears and, oh boy, cheese, positive associations with your dog friends. And be safe and sane with all of that good stuff. So happy new year, and God bless 2024. God bless 2025. And as always, I leave you with, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next year. Woo! Happy new year.